Welcome on this Father's Day. Welcome, welcome to a place that honors our Heavenly Father. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for being our dad, being so gracious and being so compassionate, so kind, so unshakable, so unwavering, and so unmoving. And Lord, thank you for the hearts that agree with that today. We just challenge anything that would rise up against the knowledge of your nature, your very nature, God. And we thank you, Lord, that you reveal the fullness, the encompassing nature, Lord, that your kindness leads man to repentance. Thank you for your sweet, warm, loving heart that kills anything that gets in the way of your kids' destinies. So we thank you for that, Jesus. Can we just celebrate today and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Couple things going on in our midst today. We've got palm trees as we're resting in the Lord. This is great. Oh my gosh. We saw them on Friday night and we got to have this great night of intercession just under the palm trees with a little bit of warring going on, a lot of warring going on in rest. So praise the Lord for that. That was amazing. If anybody wants to give just a brief testimony of that, you were here, just come on up. That would be great. Love to hear what you had to say. And anybody, any father who has not received one of these beautiful chocolate or other goodies with a tag, and they weren't stapled initially, so if you didn't get a tag that looks like this, you just got the goodie, just put your hand up so you can get that tag. The rest are stapled here. So if Jordan can come and pass these out to any of the dads who didn't get one of these, that would be great. You get your choice, and we want to take a look at that. And also, so much is going on. Hi, buddy. You want to say hi? Sometime. This is not the time, though, right now, okay? Yeah. So we just want to say thank you to the Lord Jesus for bringing us here another year. Father's Day is always fun to celebrate in ways, and sometimes it brings a little heartache, too. We have dads maybe who are estranged, or they've gone home to be with the Lord, or something else, and sometimes that brings a sharp pain too. So when we lean on Jesus and just say, Lord, you're the father of the fatherless, you're the father of all, and you fill in all the gaps, and you are the one that we turn to, you're the one that we listen to, you're the one that we rest in, it's amazing how he can touch our hearts in those places. So we want to celebrate the dads in this house today. And so if everybody has one of those, is there anybody who didn't get one? Everybody got one? Let's take a look at the amazing words. Hello. It was fun last night. Wasn't it great? It was so good. Well, let's take a look at this because we want to read this over you. And we're just going to ask that the dads would stand up while we read this because this is for you. We celebrate you today. And Papa Bill is preaching today, which is really good. So any fathers, grandfathers, just stand if you would. We would like to see you front and center. Thank you, Jesus. And we know some are, I hope Jordan's up, yeah? And Joe, if he's here. And Mike's already a dad, so that's good. All right. So if we can just get this on record. Lord, we thank you for each father today. May each dad continue to receive your love, affection, and approval as father. Thank you for dads who have led their families as you design with total dependence on and trust in you. Thank you for dads who have taken the challenge to walk closely with you no matter the cost. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for answering the cry of each dad's heart as he demonstrates to his family and others the love, honor, and commitment to Jesus first that you have ordained. Lord, reveal yourself in ways that will lead each father into the fullness of all you've given and promised for them. Ignite a holy passion for you that will permeate their mind, will, and emotions, strengthening them in the inner man as they follow you wholeheartedly. May their children obey and follow their godly example, deeply loving, honoring, and respecting their fathers. May your intended inheritance become a fortified legacy of love and power that will impact generations. May your father's heart capture each dad fresh and new today. May you be filled with holy fear and intentional joy as you cry out to the lover of your soul and Father in heaven who delights in you. He's proud of you. He is leading you forward to carry his glory and light into the darkness as you surrender to him. Give him your all today. Never give up and always believe the impossible. May you be blessed, strengthened, and encouraged today. We bless you in the name of Jesus. Can we give a big shout for all the dads and grandfathers in this house? Yeah. Something's coming later. All right, just checking. This is how we roll. What are we doing here? What's the next thing? But we do, and something for all the dads, which will, if you're a dad and you're with Kingdom Kids, then we'll have to incorporate that so you'll be coming back with your little tribes. But we just also want to honor today Barb Ramey, who is here in our midst. Where is she, Barb? This is Barb. We're going to ask Barb if you'll come up here. If you would come up and join Pastor Bill and I. We want to say to this lady right here, this lady has impacted our life in many ways. She's been at Frontline, I don't know how many years, and we were hoping she'd come today when she told me her birthday was on the 18th. And I remembered it. Come here, Barb. Yeah.
I knew you two wouldn't forget as soon as she asked twice.
There we go. This is Barb. Barb, we just want to celebrate you and bless you and praise God for your life because you've walked with the Lord for over 50 years and you have put him first. You put Jesus first. In your life, you walk in his power, his strength, his dignity, his integrity, and the favor of God. And you lead us as an example. And we are so grateful to you. We thank God for your life. We thank God for the inheritance that he's given you and for the legacy that you're leaving with your own family and with us here. Barb turns 85 tomorrow. And I mean, just like, can't even believe it. This woman is ready to go overseas with us, maybe. I don't know. I say yes if she says yes. She laughs a lot, but you know, this woman is a fireball. We've had prayer times over the phone, and she's a wise woman. And she has said things that would... that some can't get away with. But she... It's true. Is that true?
Yes.
Yes.
When you're old, you think you can get away with it all.
But I remember one of the first times Barb was here, and I was praying for her, and the Holy Ghost came upon her. And she was shaking, rattling, rolling, and hit the deck. It's like, oh my goodness, who is this woman? Yes. Remember that?
Down. Always. Yeah.
Going lower. This is Barb. So we just want to bless you. And we do have a little surprise right after we're finished, after Pastor Bill's preaching is finished. So don't scoot out of here, lady. Yeah. So we just want to... I'm going to pass the mic to Pastor Bill, and he can add his thoughts and words. And we just wanted you to see that we honor generations here, and we're so grateful because the Lord's building something, and you're part of that. So we want all the young ones, the little ones, to see Grandma Barb. And I remember for a season she wasn't able to come, and she'd say, "How's my grandson Judah? How's my grandson so and so?" I mean, she just pray for these little ones, you know, and we're blessed, aren't we? So we thank God, and yes, praise the Lord. So you want to
thank Lord. Yes, Lord. So why don't we have the children come over, and we'll just stretch our hands towards
Grandma Barb? Other children? Well, yeah, you can hug, you can just stretch your hand out, whatever you want to do. Special blessing of children. And the rest of us, if we could stand and do the same from where we're at, wherever we're standing, just stretch your arms towards this generational leader. Oh, good job, kids. This is awesome. So let's pray for her, okay? Father, we thank you, Lord, for the life of Barb Ramey, Father. It continues. It grows stronger. It's an example for us, Father. Perseverance, faithfulness, caring about your heart. Lord Jesus, we all pray. We all bless. We all send your favor to her doorstep, Lord, to her heart, Father. We thank you, God, that you have sustained her and she has given wisdom even to this body, Lord, as she continues to go forward and contend for more, contend for more, contend for more. Just like the saints of old, Father, the prophets of old, contending for more, not stopping, not leveling out, but going higher, going higher. We pray for your sustaining power in that process, in that journey, Lord, as it continues. We bless her today. We all bless her today. We favor the path she walks on because she's walking always towards the heart of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for her life and her influence on all of us. We lift her up today before your throne, and we know you're smiling in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Oh, you said that so well. Okay, if you want to hug Grandma Barb, you can before you take off. You can give her the hugs, give her the loves.
They will. Yeah. Okay, I don't have any other announcements other than you guys are awesome. And Pastor Bill has a message for us. So do we have anything about summer celebration that needs to be said? Yes, there you go.
I'll make this short, guys. So as you know, we have a shipwrecked. There is a ship coming to Frontline Worship Center, and it's going to be wrecked, so that's sad, but it'll be a good ending. But Summer Celebration is this week from Wednesday to Friday from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., so we're really hoping that all of those in-house can register today so we have a good count and that the rest of all of our friends and others that we're inviting can do that throughout the week. So I want all of the kids to look up here really quick. All the kids, if you are a child, okay, I want you to close your eyes really quick. Close your eyes, kids. I want you to think of all the friends that you have. Think of all the cousins you have. Think of everybody that you play with. Okay, now open your eyes. If you have one friend that you think you can invite, raise your hand. At least one friend. Okay, put your hand back down. If you have at least two friends or two cousins you can invite, raise your hand, or two neighbors. Okay, keep that going this week. If you can think of anybody that you can invite, tell mom or dad or aunt or uncle or grandma or grandpa, and tell them that you want to invite your friends this week, because this is for us, but it's also for our friends and our family to come and experience and encounter God, okay? This Tuesday, after Fire and Wind, we're also going to be setting up the remainder of the lovely decorations that Carl and Darlene oversaw and got here for us. Thank you, Jesus, on Friday. So we want to set it up. And if you're a volunteer and you're helping that week, we ask that you be here. If you're available throughout the daytime instead, just let me know. But we are collectively going to be doing it together as one on Tuesday night after Fire and Wind. I think that's it. If you got a handout from me that kind of listed what to expect for this week, please read that through. There was important information. I didn't email it out, So read through it so you know what to expect and what to look forward to regarding whatever role you have for this week. And continue to pray in to what God will do for all these kids and the parents that are going to be coming. We have a family fun night on Friday as well from 8:30 to 9:30. It's going to be a really fun ice cream bar, and then we have some really cool family relays that we're going to do outside. So that's a surprise, and you'll get to see what that looks like once you come. All right.
Some other things coming up is next week, Wednesday through Saturday, we have the Jackson Community Celebration. I've announced this before, and here is our sign-up sheet. I'm hoping the one that we sent out in the email looks a little bit different from this one, because it is still very blank. So if you could commit to an hour, 2 hours, however many time slots God would lead you to, that'll be in Jackson North Park next week. There's rides and food and all sorts of fun stuff. So you can come and bring your kids. And kids, we'd love to have you help out at our booth as well. We'll be drawing personal pictures for people like we do at First Friday. We'll be handing out balloons and balloon animals and information about our church. So please, please, before you go today, take a look at this, put your name down. And as I said, we also did email out a digital version of it, so you can take a look at that as well. Then other upcoming events are, so this Friday, in addition to our summer celebration and family fun night, we do have healing rooms. And then on Saturday, we have the Edge for Young Adults. So high school, college, those of us that are above that, feel free to reach out to people, invite them to that. And then Friday, July 6th will be our next First Friday outreach. And some longer term things that we want to make sure you have in mind and have on the calendar is August 17th, that's a Friday, and Saturday, August 18th, we'll be having a Kingdom Kids local mission trip. So we're very excited about that, and more details will be coming. And then our Relentless Pursuit Conference this year will be Thursday, October 4th through Sunday, October 7th. We're super excited about that. We have Brother Yoon coming in, the author of The Heavenly Man, as well as some of our other ministry partners and friends who you've seen here in the past. And then Friday, October 26th through Sunday, October 28th, we'll be having a young adult weekend. So we're looking forward to that as well. Please, as I said, mark your calendars. Feel free to start inviting people, and we'll be getting out more information in the weeks to come. Thank you.
So we're releasing the kids to Kingdom Land, and just right after we're finished, we're going to sing happy birthday to Grandma Barb. So don't run out, okay? And we have a cake for her in the back, so support that if you're able.
So much cool activity going on. Life. Lots of life. Lord, we thank you, God, today that we can bless fathers and we can talk about fathers. And you're the expert, Lord. You're our heavenly Father that invades us here on earth. You're not a father that's far away. You're a father that draws in. You're not a father that stays in your mansion. And when your prodigal is in the mud, you don't care. You go to the porch. You look for him every day to come close to your heart. And then when you see him in the distance, you run out to him before he's able to reach your home. And you embrace him. And you start giving him gifts as he's trying to blurt out how sorry he is. You're overwhelmed with passion and compassion for his life, for his heart. And so glad that he wants to come close to your heart. Thank you, Father, for being the example for us. Thank you, Father, for being someone we can always aspire to, we can look to. We fall short, but you empower us to do amazing things anyway. We thank you, God, for overcoming our lack with your abundance. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, ladies, as we talk to men primarily today, I don't you normally give a Father's Day message on Father's Day. It's kind of weaved in throughout the year. But today, the Lord just seemed to be moving in that way to talk a little bit about being a man, being a father. Most of you know that we periodically, we don't meet as often as we'd like, but periodically we meet as men who honor. And we typically meet at the Rogers Retreat Center and have a time together. Well, over the years, we've talked about a lot of topics, primarily about a man's role in his family, in the body of Christ, a man's role in raising up other men, in going after God's heart himself. And without that, you can't be a good father unless you go after the Father's heart. So we have a quote today that we'll kind of use to springboard off of. And maybe I can read it behind the palm tree. To become an honored hero father to your faithful and loyal child, you must passionately contend to become a willing and obedient child who supremely honors your heavenly Father as a faithful and loyal son. If you want the fruit as a father, the fruit is the children. It's not how big a house that you can, you know, gain in your lifetime, not how many cars that you can own that work in your lifetime. It's children are the fruit of a father. And God feels the same way. In going through just the New Testament, he talks about children of Israel, children of God, children of the promise, children of the free, children of the light, Abraham's children, beloved children, obedient children, little children, my little children. He also talks about children of wrath, children of the devil, children of flesh. Guess which one the Father would really like for all of us to be that first list of children. He is a blessing Father, a Father that gives good gifts. And he says, even we can figure that out, how to give good gifts. He gives even more good gifts as a Heavenly Father. And so, I thought today that we would remind ourselves, men, and obviously the ladies are listening in, and they will pick up the parts that reflect on them as well. As children of God, as wives, as daughters, as godly women as well. I guess what we're looking for here is armed and dangerous fathers. Mary Pat's reading a book about armed and dangerous. It's about spiritual warfare. I think we would like to be fully armed and dangerous to the enemy's plans to mess up our fruit, our children. It's not just about messing us up. It's about messing up the fruit, our children, in life. And they can be physical children or spiritual children. Some of us care about some very dear spiritual children, and so did Paul in the Bible, of course. Think about Timothy. He had a Greek father. That's all it says about his father. His mother and grandmother are named and lifted up as the ones that really raised him in the things of the Spirit. So let's just say that the Greek father was not that much of a good influence in his life. Let's just conclude that. It might not be entirely true, but since he's not named, we can assume that. And yet Timothy ends up being the fruit of his heavenly father, the fruit of Paul. Apparently Paul led him to the Lord, then built him up in the faith along with others, Titus, Silas, others. Raised them up spiritually so that they end up responding to that quote. They go after the Father's heart. And so Timothy ends up following the example of Paul to follow the example of Jesus, who went after his heavenly Father. Some men start this way after they become a believer, and then at some point they quit the process. So I have a little reminder about what the process is, and you can determine how you're doing on that process. It is impossible. The whole process is impossible. It's called the 12 traits of a kingdom man. Totally impossible for us to achieve. So that means we really have to be intentional. We have to contend, as it said in the quote. We have to go after it with all we are, not just kind of, just kind of. It's so easy for us just to float in the river rather than to swim. And sometimes we're swimming upstream against all the debris, all the flood material that's coming downstream. We're swimming upstream, and the only one that can make us successful in that swim is God inside of us. Many of us know this in theory, but somewhere along the line, we just quit swimming against the current and kind of float, but you can't float in one place, and you end up being swept away. I don't want that to happen. That's not the equipping that we envision here at Frontline. We want to continue to bring up a warning signal. Let you be warned that floating down the river is not what God had in mind. And you can't receive all the blessings of the Father. You can't be getting all that favor from His hand if you're just floating downstream. Or, worst case scenario, you get out of the river entirely and go on shore and kind of hack your way through the jungle thinking you're going to find a better place. And usually the enemy's waiting for us. So this 12 traits of a kingdom man, I'll pass it out at some point. One of the sections at the end that we'd like you to start with is actually 12, the last one. So start with the last one. Wouldn't be so bad if we started with the book of Revelation at times rather than Genesis to see what our future is. It'd be a whole different look at the Bible if we read Revelation first and then read the Bible. But this one is man who is a leader. Here are some of the subpoints: a spiritual headship in the home, spiritual training of children, a spiritual sphere of influence, sonship, fathering, humble servants, speaking life, and generational impact. Interesting that we have Barb here today as our generational impact person, and honoring that. You don't just want to impact your own life, have God impact your own life. You don't just want to impact the life of your being a couple or a single. You want to impact your children, of course, but then you want generationally to impact down the line. You want to be known as the pioneer in the family that led the people in your family to a different place, a higher place, a place that you won't come down from off the mountain. The family will stay at that place and go higher. You want to be that person, men. You want to be that person, father. And so in order to achieve that, you have to be after God's heart completely, fully. How many times do we say that in this fellowship? How many times have you heard it in your lifetime? And God has a plan for that. It's not just a general, yeah, I'm going after God's heart. Yeah, I'm going after God's heart. Yeah, just kind of general. No, he has a complete plan that he lays out in the scriptures. This isn't the complete plan. This is just maybe some summary points to look at. And it's impossible. So that's why we have to go after it so passionately. And if we are involving our children in that, at some point there are so many promises in the Bible that kick in that say they will go with us. Maybe at first, and then they have a season where they don't, and then they come back. Or maybe they go for a long season, and then they might go off the rails for a little bit, and then come back and go after his heart. Or maybe their whole life they go after Jesus because of us. Men, fathers, are you hearing? Because of us. Because we set the pace. Because we're willing to pay the cost that they go forward. You say, well, how can I do that when I'm trying to minister to other people? God has this special blessing for those that reach out of the family and go after other men to raise them up. Did you hear me? Father God gives a special blessing, favor on a person that will go outside the family to raise up other people from other families so that they are after God's heart, their disciples. So if someone just concentrates on their family, it's such a wicked world. It's such a desperate place. These are desperate times. I've got to bring in the wagons. I've got to circle the wagons around our family. And I've got to raise them up for Jesus. That's not the approach that the Bible lays out for us. Abraham could have just stayed where he was. Had everything. He had it all. And his family was loyal to him. How do we know that? Because when he took off into the desert and probably took questions from the children, you know, how soon are we going to get there? I don't know. Where are we going? No clue. Where'd you come up with this idea? Did you plan it for like, you know, a couple years so we could have this great vacation? It's not a vacation, and I didn't plan it. So we're going to have fun? I have no idea. Might be suffering. And yet they followed him loyally. You don't hear any of them going, what? I'm not going there. Not of his immediate family. Now Lot had a little bit of trouble once he got into the area. But even Lot kind of followed his footsteps to a certain point. So we can't always promise our children good times, fun times. This is going to be great. Woo! Now, those of you that just came off vacation, it's okay. That's a good thing, too, investing. And you get that extra opportunity to have some fun times and laughs and so on. But the whole thing better not be a vacation. You've got a lot of things you need to teach them to prepare them for this world the way it is now, especially because it has all the stuff from the past and it's intensified. So, but if you think you're going to circle the wagons around your own family and we'll save them, it's not going to work very well. You're going to have to reach outside the family, raise up others from others' families, spread the gospel, pay the cost, and then there's promises that kick in beyond just the regular promises. This is good news. You should be smiling. You're in that process. And maybe this is a reminder, oh yeah, I've been kind of circling the wagons around the family lately. I should be looking for a man that needs Jesus. I should be looking for a man that needs raised up in the faith. And he might be right here in this fellowship. You might not have to go very far. There might be someone in here that God says, you need to raise this guy up, but I'm not that raised up. You're the one that should do it. And he convinces you by repeating it many times. Then you bring it to leadership and they say, oh yeah. That works. There's a natural spiritual relationship there. How did Jesus look at the fruit? How did he look at children? Always welcome them in. And you know something? There's never a mention that any child was out of line when they were around Jesus. They came in, you know, delightfully jumping on his lap. And the disciples were like, they're bothering you. Get them out of here. And he'd be like, no, let the children come to me. And you never hear about the problems we hear about, you know. Does that reflect on us or him? On him. Because his anointing over the children when they were young was perfect anointing. They wanted to be close to him, and he wanted to be close to them. They knew the perfect love of the Father, and all fear left them, so they didn't have to act up. They didn't have to fight for position. They didn't need time on a video game, and then, oh, that person's getting too much time. I want my time. He had time for all of them, and they loved it more than they would any games. The connection with Jesus. See, we're all his children. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about just the kids in the Bible that came up and sat on his lap. He was telling all of us, you're all welcome. And by the way, you're all valued. You don't have to fight among one another for position with me. Or for a higher role with me. I have everything to give to you. You are my fruit. You are what I want to be close to. You are who I want to be close to. And you should desire to be close to me. And not fight with one another for position. Because I have a lap big enough to hold all of you. And you'll all feel close to me. So all these pictures in the Bible, and then you have the disciples not even getting it. He's welcoming you guys in. Don't you get it? You were the first children. He went out and he said, Matthew, follow me, you tax collector. And he smiled. He didn't say, Matthew, follow me, because you're a wretched tax collector. He just said, you know, leave that. Leave whatever you're doing. Follow me. Peter, you fishermen, come follow me. Well, when I feel like failing, I want to go back to being a fisherman. Ah, I can make coins come out of the mouths of fish. I can make the net so full on this side of the boat. That's not your destiny. You're to be a fisher of men. And he left it, even when he wanted to go back because of his failures. Jesus wouldn't let him. Nope, you're going to feed my sheep. You're going to feed my sheep. He didn't even use the same description. He didn't say fishers of men anymore. He said, you're going to feed my sheep. I don't know, there must be something there. He could have easily said, you were a fisherman and you tried to go back to be a fisherman, but now you'll be a fisherman, fisher of men again. But he didn't use that. He went to the sheep thing. I don't understand that. But it's fun. Then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked him. But Jesus called them to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. He knows we need to be children in order to be good fathers. We have to be sons after his heart, sons that want to be around him, sons that jump on his lap, come after him. And then we'll make terrific fathers. It's not how many games that I play with the kids. It's not how many jokes I tell them. It's not how much candy I pass out to them. It's whether they sense that I love them. They sense that you love them. That you would give up something else to be with them. And so as fathers, we have to make some of those choices. We do have many important things to do. But when we look at those children and they're looking at us with their eyes of wanting to be with us, we need to put those things aside and then take them the extra step past the ice cream that they want to let's go talk to this person that's in line for ice cream as well. We're the ones that can lead in that. And those of you that do that here in this body, you're an inspiration to everyone in here. Men and women. But if you just go for the ice cream so the kid is delighted for a moment, that's not God's highest. He wants us to take them farther. That's why I'm so excited about this mission that we have developing to take the kids out. It's not so much that that one-time event is the biggest thing. It's that we're thinking that way. And so we'll do that in normal life, in the line at Dairy Queen, even in the drive-thru. I just love it when Pastor Mary Pat and I go through the drive-thru anywhere. A lot of times it's so high the person can't see her, and she goes, "Hello!" They can't see her because of the angle. And I look up at them, and I'm not the one saying it like that. Yoo-hoo! I didn't say it like that. And so when they give me the change, I go, "Thank you. Thank you very much for that change." Sorry. "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." We have to enter as little children. We have to be after his heart. We have to want that fellowship with him, that touch of his, in order to affect our children properly. And if we just do that for a short season in our life, it's not going to work for them. They need to see that consistency, don't they? They need to see us after God's heart and talking to that person about Jesus. When they see that example, it sticks with them. And in some cases, when they get a little older, it bothers them. Really gets to them if they're not after God's heart like they should be. And they're mad at us for being an example of Jesus for a season. But then hope springs new in the morning. And God gets a hold of their heart because of the consistent living for Jesus and going after him. And not just going after pleasing the children because they don't like it that you're such a radical for Jesus. Their heart has to catch up to it. Did you hear me? Their heart has to catch up to it and meet the same challenge that you met to be radical for Jesus. So meet that challenge. And don't try to placate children. Don't try to fit their mold that they try to put you in. No. While being valuable, Jesus also says, as soon as I find it, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house, I'm reading in different gospels, or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the gospels, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. So he said to them, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God. So he says, yes, in our own life also. Does he want us to hate ourselves? Or hate these people? Like it reads here, like hate, hate. No, he's saying, don't put them above me. They're valuable. They're fruit. They're treasure. But don't put them above me. If they don't go after me, you go after me. You go after me. And maybe it'll take a lifetime for them to follow. Maybe it'll take a few years. Maybe they'll follow you all the time. But don't quit. Don't stop. Don't level off. Go after the Heavenly Father like Jesus did. He modeled that. He didn't model anything else. He didn't give in to the Pharisees when they started criticizing him. He didn't give in to the Sadducees, the lawyers, no one. He didn't give in to anybody to back off. We say we want to be on the front line. Jesus was on the front line first. He went to the front line first. He went ahead and went through everything that's only a possibility for us. Who knows if anyone in this fellowship would ever be martyred. But 10 out of his 12 disciples were martyred for his sake. And John is probably looking around going, I think I'm going to die here without being martyred. What's wrong with me? No. I think he had it because, you know, had the revelation come to him and all that. But think about it. You're the only one. I mean, Judas committed suicide. He doesn't count. So there's 11 left. John is the only one that lives out a full life. 10 of them died for the sake of Jesus. So he's saying it's worth it all to give your all, even to the place where suffering happens or persecutions or martyrdom. And then your children are going to have to watch how you go through that to be able to go through that. Or watch a spiritual parent if they don't have that example in front of them. So Timothy had no one. He didn't have a father that went after Jesus' heart, it seems. But his mother and grandmother did, and they taught him how to do that. Then guess what? God provides a spiritual father to take him on to that next level. Some of us don't have fathers that raised us up in the faith. We don't have fathers who were strong after the heart of Jesus. That doesn't mean we're done. We have no excuse. There's always a spiritual father that God wants to supply to us, someone to take us that next step. And Timothy realized that. And he allowed that to happen in his life. And it wasn't weird. It wasn't strange. You know, when you're hanging out in jail cells with your spiritual father, you kind of get close. You have to smell each other, go through the same stuff as each other, bleed with one another. And it's not a weird thing. The world would make it a weird thing. It's not. So don't let someone say, well, you're just too close. Is that what we say about Jesus? We're just too close to him. No, we can never be too close to Jesus. We'll always be contending for that. So if we expect our children to obey what we tell them about the Lord, we have to be even a better example of that, don't we? And when they point out that we're not, we say, you know, you're right, Dad messed up. And admit it to them. and then, you know, pray with them that we'll be a better father. That would make an impression. What do you think they're going to do with their children when they mess up? They have every possibility of doing that same thing. But if we try to bob and weave and dance and compromise and we don't really go after Jesus by spreading the gospel. Oh, I come to church. Sorry, not good enough. We have to go after spreading the gospel, the great commission, the great commandment. We have to do those. We have to obey those to be that armed and dangerous father. And if we just start that now, he can redeem the time. That's good news. We start being an armed and dangerous father right now, he'll redeem the years that we weren't. And he'll back us up. Every father has holes in him. Every one of us. Who makes up the difference for that for our children? It's got to be Jesus healing up their hearts. We have to depend on that. And sometimes the child will point out, well, when you were raising me, you did this or you didn't do that. You did this or you didn't do that. Do you know that is the same thing for every father to one degree or another? How in the world does that ever get turned around in the child's heart? They need to be close to Jesus. Then they can be healed up of those things that were lack in us. And they'll see the example of Jesus if they don't see it in us. Or we can ask their forgiveness if we have just botched it big time. Go after Jesus. I just was not that example while I was raising you. But if we were, we can't say, you know, I wasn't going after his heart. I was going after his heart. I did it imperfectly, but let me tell you, I wanted to please Jesus. I wanted to give you an example. And you just share that when they're open, share that with them, your desire to go after the heart of Jesus. And then at whatever point, let it take an upgrade so they see the changes. And they might react to it at first if they're not after God's heart. It might not be what you think. Oh, if I love Jesus more, they'll think that's great. Not always, not at first. But we're trusting in the end, it will be that way. So you might say, well, I thought this was kind of a Father's Day message. You're talking a lot about children. You will know them by their fruits. So if you have children that end up being a fruit of your going after the heart of Jesus, physically or spiritually. And it's good fruit. It reflects on your heart after Jesus. But if you're just selfishly living life for yourself and I'll have a little bit of Jesus so he helps me out, I'll pull him out of the back pocket when I need him, and, you know, when we have a desperate situation, hey, Jesus, how about doing something about this? You're not going to end up with the fruit that you think you'll end up with. Oh, maybe he'll be merciful and take care of that temporary situation. But you want him to be the captain of your life, the Lord. Take everything and move it, move that mountain. And especially in the fruit of the children, you want those mountains moved because they're going to face a world. All these little ones we see go through here to Green Light Missions and so on. We know so many have gone through that process and left the heart of the Lord somewhere along the line. So we're trying to develop a different community here, where we don't just talk it, we walk it, and then we take them. So some have backed off from, well, I just don't want to take them down to First Friday. There's dirty people down there. What happens when you're not around and they meet a dirty person? A person that has troubles, struggles, addictions, and they're 14 years of age. And they've never dealt with a person like that because we kept them away from those kinds of people. You want them prepared. Then when they face a stranger, they'll be able to have some discernment of the Lord. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. Father and little children, you've known him. Young men, you've overcome the wicked one. What's that say to me as I read this? Young men, young women have many struggles because the enemy goes after them. And it's about the time when they get that freedom enough to experience some things and experience some people they hadn't been able to do before, because we kind of kept them, you know, okay, let's cross the street together. Okay, don't touch that stove, it's hot. You know, when they're young, we get to do all that, and they go, they either do it, you know, they go touch the stove anyway, and we make sure that they don't one way or another. But there's going to come a point when they get to make a lot of those decisions. And they have to overcome the wicked one. What's going to make the difference? Well, the other two people, fathers and little children, they've known the Father. What did Jesus do? He knew the Father. Everything he did, he heard the Father's voice, because that's what his goal was, not to do his own thing, to hear his Father's voice in whatever situation he was in, to know the Father. And here he is, divine in human form. But he wanted to relate to his Father, go after his Father. The same for us. We need to go after knowing the Father so that we can help the ones when they come to the age where they struggle with the wicked one. Little children, you might think, oh my gosh, man, they just won't stay still. Oh, they're so selfish there. I wish they wouldn't be selfish. But you have something to do with it. No, you're going to give him a turn. That's what you're going to do. You're going to give him a turn. You've had the watch to play with for 45 minutes while your friend here, which you said you want to sit by him and share your ice cream and all that, you're not sharing the watch with him. So give him a turn. And they pass over the watch. It might be a little bit of, but they pass over the watch and they give him a turn. You're involved. You're helping. Don't think that you are unsuccessful if they don't do it at first. Look at the children of Israel in the desert, okay? If they don't do it at first, don't think you're a terrible parent. You are not the first parent that has ever dealt with this. I'm almost so glad we didn't have that technology when I was raising our children. It was bad enough with the technology we did have. But passable technology, technology they can wear and play games on? Oh, it's just like added opportunities for selfishness. But you are shaping them. And talk to them afterwards. You know when you didn't share? I know it was your watch, but
You didn't share with your friend? You think Jesus would do that? No. You're helping them. Now, you don't have to lay a guilt trip on them like I would my kids, but... and smile. No, you're shaping them. You're helping them. And especially if you as a father steps into that and doesn't always just leave it with the mother. It really helps. Because, by the way, fathers and mothers have different roles in the children's life. Different roles. I have it here somewhere. I just can't put my eyes on it at the moment. But it explains it. I'll find it in a minute. But it's when they get that chance for freedom. And you know you're going to give them that freedom at some point. They're going to ride their bike beyond the limit of your property line. At some point. That may be where it starts. I don't know. There might be an overnighter at somebody's house, and you've got to make all the decisions, whether they should be there, all that. That's more freedom than they've had before. And it only increases. And you want them to be able to face the wicked one with your example, the example of the Bible, the example of all the people they know, the community that they're involved in. You want them to have so many examples in their spirit that it's going to make them pause. I grew up in a Baptist church, small town Baptist church. The people were what I would look at now as very religious, do's and don'ts. Pulled the ear if you weren't being quiet in the back row as a young man. All that business, you know, very stern in the Sunday school class. Choir, you know, a lot of the people in the choir were goof-offs and you know, sinners behind the scenes, lots of hypocrites. And yet, they taught the Word of God. And they sang Christian songs. And even though the whole place seemed to be, as I look back, wow, was there anybody that was really radical after Jesus' heart, including the leadership? I have to say, you know, that environment, although it had holes in it, and this one has holes in it, that environment shaped me. There were things I would not do. As a young person, I look at my time of rebellion. Jeez, I didn't even do it right. I could have really let loose. What was keeping me back? And when I did do something, why didn't I do it again and again and again? I didn't like that I did it the first time. What was keeping me back? I had been exposed. Not to my father being after God's heart. My mother took me to church, and that was about as much influence as she had. She never talked about Jesus at home. But just the fact that they brought me into an environment where God's name was lifted up, despite the holes in all the people. And the songs were songs of worship to God. I would be, when I was away from the church after that, I'd be walking along and a song I would start to sing from that time period. And I rebelled against it all. But it was there and it was endearing to me. I would take a moment and enjoy that worship song. Weird! I told kids to receive Jesus when I hadn't fully given my heart to him. It just came out of me. I went to visit a couple kids, well, they happened to be twins. And for whatever reason, my parents never let me do this, but they let me leave our community, travel to another place, and spend a weekend with these two guys, these twins. Bad idea, but they didn't know me. But even then, we didn't do anything. We couldn't do anything that bad. And even if they suggested it, I'd be, we don't want to do that. Let's play some, you know, baseball. just the influence I had kept me back from just letting loose. So what if they come here, and there are many more good examples than I had growing up, and they start to step out, all these little ones that are little now that you think, oh my gosh, I can't even keep track. You're doing great. You're doing great. Keep it up. Keep going after it. But when they get out there, what are they going to think of when they face all this temptation and they're on their own? There's going to be an influence to hold them back and keep them away from sin. And maybe our guys, our gals will stand up and say, not doing it. Doesn't please Jesus, like you've heard come out of their mouths at times. If that becomes a pattern in them, there'll be little prophets out there, and they won't allow anything to be done in their presence. But they won't be nasty about it, you know? They won't be harsh. They'll be loving about it. Because that's what's happened in here, with the relationships in here. When I see, you know, one of the children not being everything I want them to be, I try to get as close as possible to them. I grab them and hold them and distract them from whatever they're doing. I try to kiss them. I try to give them something else to think about. I toss them around a little bit. It gets them disoriented from whatever they were going to do that I didn't like. And many of you do that. You don't just shout from back here, stop it! And maybe use some choice language. And they'll stop, but they'll stop in fear. But you're more like Jesus. More of you are like Jesus than ever, because I see you come up and you grab the child and you toss them around. And you, oh, you don't want to do that. And da da da. You really don't want to do that. And or whatever. And sometimes you have to say, stop. Stop. It's okay. Jesus didn't have to do that. He was so anointed. I don't think he ever had to say no to a child. They didn't want to mess up in his presence. That's pretty awesome. I don't think we're there. And we probably won't get there. But we can still come close to them like he did. And want them to come in. So I want to pray over the fathers that you'll go after Jesus' heart. Let's see if I can find this one thing about role of mother and role of father. Sorry? Okay. Here it is. We'll read several passages and then we'll comment on it. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. I would use that verse whenever you can. It's two passages, actually, two times in the New Testament. Ephesians 6:1 and Colossians 3:20. Children, obey parents in the Lord, for this is right. It says it twice. I would, you know, teach the children. It said it twice, so you know it means it when it says it twice in the Bible. And then take that lesson for yourself. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Okay? Don't provoke them to wrath. That doesn't mean saying no, and when they get mad about it, oh, well, I don't want to provoke them to wrath. That's not what it's talking about. It's by your lifestyle, by your hypocritical example, they're upset with you. They're mad that you don't follow what you're telling them to do. Follow Jesus, and then you do everything the opposite of that. That provokes them to anger and wrath. Not saying, no, stop it. No, I mean it. and then following through. That doesn't provoke them to wrath unless you're especially angry yourself. Then it says about mothers, but we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So notice the two words there, gentle and cherishing. Boy, that's pretty challenging, eh, moms? It's not always quite that easy. Gentle and cherishing for mothers, bringing them up in the training and admonition of the Lord for fathers. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. So that's why you hear the classic thing, when dad comes home, I'm going to tell him about this. Because moms, when they're at their best, are going after the gentle and the cherishing. And the father is the one doing the admonition of the Lord. So fathers have to take their place in that and do it without this anger rising up. And if that happens, it's an immediate asking for their forgiveness, because that will provoke them to wrath themselves. They'll be very angry. And what do we see in our society? Angry, angry, angry children and adults. It's because of their upbringing. There was no Jesus for them to run into his lap. They left Jesus out, or they were such hypocrites about it. Oh, let's play this game at church. And then at home, it's a different story entirely. And you know some of the hidden things that are coming out in the news about all aspects of our society. They're being brought out in the news, including the church having a problem in these areas. So why not go for a purifying, holy atmosphere for our children to grow in? And some people say, well, you don't have all the programs that other churches have. You don't have the facilities that other churches have. It's really not going to end up being about that, is it? Well, they don't have as many friends if they come to Frontline. It's not going to end up being the major thing. It's going to be how many examples are they seeing living radically for Jesus, and they won't be provoked to wrath because there's so many hypocrites. They won't be provoked to jump into rebellion. Oh, they'll have it stirring inside, but they might actually face it and not rebel because they'll have good examples to follow. Be one of those good examples, men and women. In Frontline, be one of those good examples. Get close to those children. Don't go do your own thing and leave the children hanging when you could be teaching them. I'm going to do this instead. It's more important in my life. There are children here that we can invest in. That's why I like the fact that there are so many creative ideas coming out for the children in this season. Have you noticed? I mean, that thing we had out here where they're telling me about a country. They're telling me. I don't have to tell them. They're telling me. They're pointing to me on the map. Some countries that I can't even identify. Come on. I would have loved that as a school teacher. I'd say, let's look at this map and, you know, memorize the capitals of the United States. You might go to one of these states sometime and go to one of these cities. That's what you heard as a teacher. So you had to, you know, nurture, and you had to exhort, and you had to give tests and quizzes and, you know, keep them in for recess if they misbehave while you're trying to tell them about North Carolina and how important it is. Father, we thank you, God. There are so many developing good examples here of Father's heart in the people here, God, men and women. We thank you for the good examples here. We thank you, God, that you're going to increase the examples of each of us. You're going to point out in us where we fail and flop and flounder as fathers and mothers, God. You're going to point out to us where we're not reaching beyond our own family to spread the gospel and being an example to our children of what comes out of our mouth. Oh, that's important. but we model it, we show it, we count the cost and do it. Jesus, it's always such a challenge to us, but we're in a process together. We're supporting one another. We're exhorting one another. Another aspect of being a father is to exhort the children. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged each one of you as a father does his own children. Part of the role of a father, exhort, comfort, and charge. Set the pace. Fathers, set the pace. God, give them the ability to set the pace. Have them get rid of the things in their life that slow down that process for their children. If their children have challenged them on things they've seen that are holes in their life, let them admit it to you, God, to the child, God, and asking before the child, you to take it out of their life. Let us live up to what we talk about with the children. We want our kids to be good children, good citizens. Good citizens of what? The United States of America? Yes, we want them to be patriotic. But God, we want them to be loyal and patriotic to the kingdom of God, a much higher kingdom, a much higher loyalty. And Father, that takes us being all in. Thank you, God, that you're the only one that can empower us to go after this high calling. It's not an ordinary calling just because there are fathers everywhere. It's an extraordinary calling because we're kingdom fathers. We're raising kingdom children. They're going higher, greater, wider. They're going to care about people, not just have a temporary program. They're going to care about people their whole life, not just give a handout. Jesus, teach us more about what that looks like because you're the ultimate example of that. You welcomed the children in and you weren't just smiling at them. You were teaching them while you had them in your presence. And the disciples were your children as well. And anyone else that was willing to name the name of Jesus was your child and you taught them. Whether it be Nicodemus, whether it be Pilate, you are offering it. And if they wanted to be your child, they could be your child. They could be born again to be a child in your family. So important. We've just watered that down so it's just not important. God, help us to see how important it is for these precious children. We love the children here, God. Help us to be the examples that show that love at its maximum. It's not just smiling and giving a hug once in a while. It's being the example for them. It's not just stopping them from doing wrong things. It's showing them the right path to take in life. Jesus, we need your help. We need your empowering. We thank you, God. You can turn us into the fathers and mothers that raise up a generation that will change this generation, God. It doesn't take a lot of people to change a generation. It takes a commitment, a desire to be used by you to the maximum. Yes, Lord. And let us be an example of that for our children. We give you praise, God. We know it's impossible. So that means we have to come to you. We know it's absolutely undoable, so we must come to you. Because then you can get it done and make up for our lack. You can give us 100% and 110% on the test when we deserve a 12%. Because you can redeem anything. You can fill in the holes for anything. You can make up the difference in us so our children, the fruit, becomes ripe and beautiful and tasty for a world that needs that so much. And the children need that so much. Yes, God. Yes, God. Help us to relate to them while we're having fun with them. Help us to relate to them when we're going through a hard time. Help us to relate to them when they're going through a hard time. Help us to relate to them at all times, like Jesus did, welcoming them in. And when it's hard to enter their world because they want to do something fun and we have such work on our agenda, God, help us to take time out, take time away, and suddenly those important things don't look so important when that child's face is lit up by a father caring, God. Only you can do that in us, God, consistently. We thank you for the children here. They are the fruit of this ministry in many ways. And they're going to be the ones that carry the banner in the coming days. And they're going to take territory that we can't take. So we better get them ready, God. And that means we have to be ready before you. Thank you, Jesus, for each one here. We pray that into their life. We pray that over their life. We will contend each day to equip each man here, each woman here, to go after your heart, so that the children of this ministry will be so effective and carry it even farther that it won't stop and dissipate and quit when it reaches the children becoming adults. Thank you, God. We look to you in empowering all this and bringing it to pass. A generation changed for Jesus. In your precious name we pray, over each man here, over each woman here. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you pass these out? Yeah.
Thank you, honey. The Lord's given me and released a lot of strength in me here in different nations. And I owe much of that to having such a strong husband and strong father. And so I encourage you ladies in here, and encourage you ladies who are with the children, to listen to this message and think about it for yourselves, to get behind your husband, hold his arms up, and absorb the message that God's giving, so that you can reach the destiny you're called to reach, but so can your husband. And those who are in the midst of waiting for their spouse, let this be strong inside of you, because women love to lead. I'm one. Women are very strong. I'm one. Women need to understand the role of a wife and still be strong. You don't want to raise up passive husbands. You don't want to raise up what you call peaceable people so that you can run past them and not realize that you're doing it. And the Lord sees that. So what we have to do as women is recognize that the truths that are being released from the Word of God by a very spiritual father in the house, a very spiritual and powerful man who has humbly submitted himself to the Lord. And I encourage you, wives, who as you may say, well, I defer to my husband and let him make the decisions. As you say those things, if there's fear and control in the heart, it sounds really good and noble, but you're not necessarily being an influence for your husband that would be helpful. My husband will listen to things that I say as I'm led by the Spirit. I don't step back like this and bow down to Jesus, yes. So I'm encouraging women in here and who listen to this to step into their rightful place, because our husbands, your fathers, grandfathers need you to be strong, strong to allow them to lead properly. Sometimes men are not leading properly. They're trying, but they're hindered by either a woman who is strong in her own right, but not strong in the power of the humility of Jesus, or they're passive, calling it strength in Jesus. I've seen both operate in my own life at times. And I've been able to be humbled by the Lord and ask for more, to recognize my place and my role. And I've seen as a result more strength coming from me and wisdom to be able to be an appropriate influence, to encourage my husband to take another step, to encourage my husband to be who he's created to be, so that he could be the strength, he could represent and hold the strength of our mighty God, so that we flow together in the right way with our children, with our grandchildren, with our children and such in this house as well, spiritual ones. So I encourage you, women, to pay attention to this for yourself also, to grow in that humility which defers but also is appropriately influencing. Because sometimes husbands don't make the best choices. My husband would say that's true. But he puts us together. And so he's open to considering what I have to say about it before he makes a final choice on something. That's what I'm saying, that we can influence one another so that our husbands are able to lead appropriately and we are following in a biblical way, not as a doormat, but as a strong and powerful influence to enable our husbands to be, to hear in ways that will be fruitful. Sometimes we can think we're really on that stretch in that course, and our husband might even hear something. And there can be stubbornness in us that says, well, I don't want to. I'm not ready. I'm not. When a husband gets a word of the Lord, honestly, the wife better listen to that. And we can be in that process. And that's what we offer when we go and share about marriages and such elsewhere. Because it's true. The Lord does not want wimpy men. He wants strong and mighty and powerful men. Strong and mighty and powerful women. But he has roles that work together in ways that will bring the greatest fruit for these little fries and many other things that we're doing in here. So be strengthened and encouraged today, because I really believe this was a very wealthy message, wealth-oriented, and I believe it's for us, and I believe it's for the future. So be strengthened and encouraged today to listen and not be dogmatic, but embrace and listen. That's part of going lower and really, really hearing what the Lord's saying at any given moment. That's how we can flow as husbands and wives. In Jesus' name, amen.